it would be somewhat accurate to say yes, in the respect that diverse energies were both working in a common plan, that is, to raise the consciousness of this planet. However, again there were as diverse energies in that respect as there are in this respect, and there are as many different Earth energies. There are as many different kinds as there are different kinds of people. Not to say numerically speaking, but the diversity is nonetheless very similar, whether they be in energy form or physical form. Well, what directs Althis order to keep it all in order, tell them what they have to do, if the res are many different kinds. The entire scheme or plan of the universe, the master plan, the gigantic cosmic clockwork, the God concept which is a popular human notion, is what keeps this in order. They know what to do at what certain phase in our history and things like that. That is accurate. The appropriateness is always the litmus test as to whether such and such is appropriate or not. Chapter 17, Area for the Dignitaries. Often upon opening the elevator door, Phil would not see the three spires. Instead there would be other scenes. There was no clear way of predicting what would happen. The following session was such an example. P. This is an area reserved for dignitaries of other planets, arriving on this planet from which we speak. This is the staging area for departures. He actually said departals, and arrivals to and from this planet. We see ahead of us the symbol of unity as it is recognized and known in this part of the universe. I asked if he would be able to draw this symbol when he awakened. He said that would be very difficult since it was not a two-dimensional picture or design. It was perceived in four dimensions. D. Then the symbol is more like a vibration. P. That is a most astute observation on your part, for that is exactly the connotation which is used. It is, as one here on this planet would say, a beacon of loyalty to translate it to this language Ito, the Federation of Advanced Civilizations, those races who have banded together and formed an alliance to further the spiritual and moral education of their prospective races. D. Why have we arrived at this place? P. In working with energies such as this, there is often no concrete or base motive or reason. Simply there is asked for an example, so it is given. There is, in this instance, no singular factor which determined that this would be the example given. 173-174, the keepers of the garden. In other words, we would never be sure where we would be when the elevator stopped. D. You said they are arriving and departing? I'm thinking of a station, a depot, or an airport terminal. Is it something like that? P. A welcoming, staging area where arriving members of other planets' royalty are greeted and shown the proper courtesies due the persons in that position. After the arrival, they would then travel to whatever appropriate area they had come to visit. For instance, commercial or governmental or scientific installations would then receive them for their intended purposes. To illustrate the difference here, an arriving dignitary in your capital city of Washington would not arrive by subway. The president would not greet an arriving dignitary on the subway or by taxi. There is much pomp and circumstance given to one who holds a position such as the president of another country. And so this would be equivalent to the gun salutes which are accorded visiting dignitaries, and the ceremony which surrounds the arrival of such persons. This is simply an area which is most conducive to the arrival of large crowds of dignitaries. There is room in or around for such arrivals and departures. D. Is this staging area on a certain planet? P. It is on this planet, yes. On a certain place on this planet. Much the same considerations given to the placement of reception areas on this planet are given again, as in other parts of the universe. D. You keep saying this planet. You don't mean the planet Earth? P. That is accurate. We have trouble designating here because we speak of two simultaneous realities where we are in fact in both at the same time. So we will delineate more clearly. D. The planet we are speaking of, do you know about where it will be located? P. If you can imagine seeing your Milky Way galaxy from above, and the spiral arm in which your solar system resides being, from your perspective, below and somewhat forward and to the left of you from your vantage point, then this planet would be behind and above your right shoulder, in that direction, looking flat down on your spiral galaxy, such that the spiral motion is clockwise. It was difficult for me to follow this description, but research revealed that our Milky Way galaxy is indeed a spiral galaxy composed area for the dignitaries, 175, of several arms. Apparently this other planet was located on the opposite side of our galaxy, on one of the other arms. D. Is there anything special about this planet that it was chosen as the staging area? P. It is simply one planet of many. Each planet would in turn have an area designated as the staging area or arrival and departure area. This is not a central planet in this region. This is simply one staging area of many on the different planets. D. Then all the planets that belong to this, what would we call it, afteration or something? They all have the same symbol of unity. P. That would be as close a translation as would be possible. D. Then these dignitary east travel to each of these plants that belong to that alliance of duration. P. That is accurate. They exist in mutual support and trust and are not of your like nature, as these are most gentle civilizations and live not in fear of attack from their neighbors. For they have developed and evolved far beyond that level at which one would find violence, intentional violence. D. Is this why our Earth is not included in this alliance site? P. The alliance is somewhat local. It would be as if neighbors banded together to form an alliance. Earth could not be considered a neighbor as it would be most distant from this area. D. It's more or less like the United Nations, isn't it? P. That is a very accurate analogy, on a planetary level. D. What do these dignitaries do when they arrive at these different places? P. Again, there is much commerce and trade in many areas, such as in the scientific communities where information is shared freely. And so it would be as scientists traveling from one planet to another to share scientific discoveries, for example. These are races which are governed and have a government set up which is not greatly unlike some governments found on your planet. Rather more like tribal governments than your democratic governments, however. D. I thought they sound similar to ambassadors. They take information of things back to their people, but as scientists they would have more knowledge than the average ambassador. And they all share these discoveries? P. That is accurate. They work conjointly in many areas and in endeavors which would further advance their civilizations. D. That's something that we would like to have on Earth, but it seems there, 176, the keepers of the garden, P. D. P. D. P. D. P. D. P. D. P. D. is so much jealousy regarding discoveries. The leaders want them just for their own countries. There is a profit motive here on this planet Earth which is not shared in this system we speak of. There the need for self-aggrandizement does simply not exist, and so all discoveries are thought of as shared. As they are discovered, there is not the concept of personal gain at work, for there is no such concept, and so there is no need for secrecy or belittlement or professional jealousies as is found here on the planet Earth. That's a problem. They always have to guard everything as a secret. Especially since the knowledge usually goes into their form of developing weapons and defense. These people have no need for that. Is that what you mean? That is accurate. There is no defense industry. There is no competition. Competition has no concepts in that civilization. Then they think on off the whole, how everyone can profit or benefit from what they discover. That is accurate. These discoveries are worked on, or rather, the work is done with the thought in mind or for the purpose of sharing with others. That is a very alien idea to our planet, because they are so much in fear of the other governments and other peoples. And yet it would be so easy to implement such a concept, if people would but think of others as they think of themselves. I think we're a long way from attaining that though. Not so far as one might think. For there are many at work now on your planet who are bringing this very concept to the surface and are practicing this concept, such that others may see and understand and bring this concept into their life. I thought that the extraterrestrials were trying to get these ideas across to our people. Is that what you mean? This concept is not so much extraterrestrial in deliverance as in terrestrial. For those humans and star people who have incarnated with the intentions of raising the consciousness on this planet Earth are showing by example these concepts. They need not be explained, merely shown or demonstrated to be given. It seems like when they come to Earth that they would be caught up in what we call the rat race. The competitiveness and making a living and everything that goes along with it. Because they must have money and food. They have to enter into the competitiveness whether they want to or not. Area for the dignitaries, 177, in order to just survive. Yes, it is very frustrating to many who have incarnated and find themselves in this situation. It, however, is a test which can be given to further strengthen this concept in those who have come here to deliver this concept to their brothers. There is then a blending of the concepts, such that the concept given is formed or changed as necessary, to where it will work acceptably with the concepts prevalent, for it would not be feasible to try to destroy those concepts present on Earth and to replace them. Much better to transform them to allow these new concepts to work into the old concepts and so to gradually replace them. Many people are so competitive in this respect that they lose sight of their responsibility to their neighbors, and have fixated their entire energies onto this concept of success. This is a very prevalent and very strong concept, especially in American society. Then there's nothing really wrong with working and making money and earning an honest living, as long as you don't let it be your only driving goal and want to step on everyone to get it. That is accurate. As has been said many times, anything to excess is not in the best good for all. This would be as an example to this vehicle, Phil, to further understand why he finds himself at times in the situations that he does. This would help to explain these alien concepts which he finds himself, by necessity, having to work with or to embrace in some form. It is very hard to remain removed from that immortal life. We might make comparisons between realities on this planet Earth's existence and some realities on other planets throughout the universe. There are concepts which are not shared on the many planets. For example, we have indicated that the concept of profit for self and its attendant manifest realities such as greed, are not in all races and societies throughout the universe. Not that this is the only planet with such concepts. I wondered if we were the only black sheep, if you know what I mean. We aren't the only one then that has not evolved to that state. That is accurate. For there are many planets such as your own. Some who are in far worse condition from what you would call a human rights point of view. For there is still slavery on many planets, and barbarism and tyranny. Earth is, by no means, the laggard of the celestial citizens. Do the X-ray terrestrials try to help those other planets, too? 178. The keepers of the garden. In some cases it is not possible to help these other planets, as they have regressed to such a point that any effort and assistance would be considered interference and would be met with hostility. And so, in these instances it is best to simply let the planets evolve as they would, until such a time as it would be appropriate to begin feeding into the races an expanded awareness, such as is being done to your planet now. They will evolve upward eventually then? One would hope, however, it is not unheard of in the galactic annals of history for a planet to completely obliterate itself. To self-destruct such that there is literally no physical planet left. In Earth's case, with a nuclear holocaust, which is sometimes projected, to occur, it is probable that the planet would not be broken apart, merely disfigured. However, it has occurred. It is not unheard of for planets to self-destruct to such an extent that the entire planet breaks up and is lost to the cosmos as nothing more than fragments. There is then nothing left to record the passage of such a race as the destruction is total and complete. Of course the spirits of these entities would still survive, wouldn't they? For even a destruction like that could not destroy the soul or the spirit. That is accurate. However, there would be no physical reminders of such a civilization. There would be nothing to recall. Well, those civilizations that were in such a bad state, Earth also seeded. The way we were? It would be possible to say that all life has been seeded from the very beginning of time on through the end of time, in one form or another. D. You told me before that usually IF was not allowed to evolve by its fan take its own direction. That was why the beings seeded the planets and guided them, is that correct? P. This would not be entirely accurate in all cases, as some life forms or civilizations which are being started need far less supervision than others. There are many forms indigenous to some planets. It becomes a matter of we are searching for the word relativity as to what is called indigenous. D. Well, if they were seeded the same way we were and begun with the same high-minded ideals, how did they get to such a state of negativity? P. Through many of the same mistakes made on this planet. This planet is not so unique, as it has simply progressed to where it is now through many of the same accidents and defaults which, area for the dignitaries, 179, D, P, D, P, have befallen other planets. It is not a common, what we would say, usual occurrence. It is not the rule, but it is not what we would call rare. Most planets do not have to endure this form of evolution. It seems to me as though their planets evolve much as the human spirit evolves. We have lived other lives in the past where we were very base and very selfish and we have had to evolve above that. It seems as though the planets are the same way, only on a larger scale. Would this be a correct analogy? The planets evolve because of the spirits, and the planet's evolution simply reflects that of the spiritual evolution. For the spirit is the true reality, and the physical simply mirrors that which is in spirit. And what is occurring in the physical, the spirits inhabiting physical people on that planet Aruat influences this and raises the whole thing. It would be like a planetary consciousness? That is accurate. Chapter 18. Other types of beings. At the beginning of this session Phil remarked that the three spires appeared differently. P. There is a bright white light flooding into the elevator. The three spires seem to be arranged in a peculiar way this time that I've never seen before. They used to be taller to shorter, but now it seems the shortest one is in the center and the two on the ends seem to be almost the same size. They also seem to shine differently now. The ones before gave off an even, brilliant white light and these seem to shimmer. Their light is much brighter but yet it shimmers. They seem to be larger at the base and shaped somewhat differently. It would seem that this representation has changed along with the interpretation of the vehicle and so what is seen here has been changed also. It is not that there is a change of location but merely a change in interpretation. D. Would you be able to talk about the different planets and explore the things in outer space? P. We would be happy to. For we would, with much love, care to give you this information now, for it has been held until this time that we could give this to you. D. You have said before that the life forms in our universe were mostly of the human or humanoid characteristics. P. In this part of this universe that is accurate. There are many humanoid forms scattered throughout the universe. D. I was surprised that we are more or less alike. P. There are, it would seem, more similarities to your extraterrestrial brothers than dissimilarities. 18. Other tapes of bins. 181. D. I believe you once said you would give me more information about the types of entities and their lifestyle. Not necessary ones that the vehicle had lived but other ones that were there. I'm interested in the three-dimensional, physical types of planets and people that live on them. Do you have anything like that that you can give me? P. There are many realities. Reality is a very ambiguous term which covers what one might call truth. We would say that the realities we could give you could cover physical and spiritual in many facets of each. But we shall speak then of those which are what you would call physical levels of existence on other planets. We would say that there are approximately 10,000 variations in this sector of your universe of the physical life form. One which is, as you might say, carbon-based in matter. And which is, as you might say, receptive to your senses of touch and so forth. This is what you would say is a physical form, would you not? Then let me say to you that there are those forms which, let me rephrase this, there is an apparent discrepancy here in the translation. We would say that there are in what you define as physical those properties which are way beyond your capabilities of perception. In other words, There are physical senses available which are not given to those on this planet, and in so doing we would necessarily have to include those properties to give a fair and complete picture of the realities which surround you. Is this understood?
D. Yes, that's right, because I like to expand my mind into things I haven't explored. Because even if I can't understand it, I enjoy the challenge of trying.
To think of physical entities or people or whatever you want to call them that would be operating differently than we are.
P. That is accurate. For we will try, as we have said, to limit as much as possible this discussion to those physical properties with which you are familiar. But again, however, there are times when this would not be fair to limit to only those properties.
D. That's all right. Don't have to limit. Let's just see how much we can you try to understand.
P. Then it shall be. There are many areas in your own universe with which we can entertain ourselves. Now we shall all, as you might say, board our spaceship for a trip to another part of your universe, one of several. And so we will now begin leaving and travel to a distant star, one which is very, very far away. What you might perceive as being on the edge of your known universe. However, this is simply a matter of perception, limited due to the L82, the keepers of the garden, D.P.D.P. level of fear technology. There is indeed more, much more than can be imagined. There is in fact much more to explore beyond the limits you have described as physical beings. And so we now approach this limit, this frontier land, or this outback, or as you might say, wilderness of the universe. We come to the very border of your known universe. And at last come to a star group which is, in your terminology, one of a medium size. Were this vehicle more educated in astronomical dimensions and awarenesses, we could give a more complete description. However, this is, as one might say, a lack of terminology with which to work. And so we must say that it is one of a size which is larger than your own sun, but as stars go, not one of the giants. There is surrounding this sun a planet which radiates a very pale light green color, the fifth from the innermost planet which circles this sun. And it is inhabited by what we would call physical creatures. However, were you to be able to or attempt to perceive them with your senses, you would see nothing but shadows. For there would be, through your perceptive resources, a lack of substance before you. However, due to your visual acuity or your ability to perceive, that is your eye's acuteness to light, there would be darkness, a shadow person in front of you. This is simply due to the fact that these bodies give off light which is in an ultraviolet spectrum, due to the energy of the souls which inhabit these bodies. And so you would see shadow. However, were you to reach out and touch, you would feel not heat or cold, but pressure. It would be as if someone were pinching or pushing on your fingers, as best as we can translate, the physical properties of your sense of touch. They wouldn't have a solid body? Not in what you would sense as solid, but which is in fact three-dimensional and quite material, physical. There would be, of course, no true way to communicate with these creatures. For the conceptual basis on which both your language and theirs is based, is completely different and has, as far as we can tell, no common denominators whatsoever. The concepts of love and awareness and so forth could be communicated through telepathic methods. I was thinking maybe they were just invisible to our eyesight, but would have a solid body if you touched them. It's not like that. It is as if the brighter the light shone on them, the darker they seemed to appear. Other types of beings, D, but are they intelligent? P, they are highly developed creatures and are somewhat industrial in their society. But they are more attuned to the telepathic construction of realities. We here on this planet are attuned to the physical construction of realities.
D. What about their communities? Would we be able to see them? Any buildings, semicolon, for instance?
P. It would be possible to see some of the systems available, for there are on the planet many nutrients which are derived from the planet's resources, and which are conveyed in physical, gross forms of transport. However, it might be said that one would see a building with all of the plumbing and wiring intact, but none of the remainder of the building. It would be as if the wiring and plumbing were freestanding and going to nowhere.
D. But if one approached the building, would they feel the building as being there?
P. If the inhabitants of this planet were to perceive the building, it would be complete. However,
It is an accurate statement to say there would appear to be nothing there, for you would have no way of perceiving the realities of such a building. D. Even with touch? P. That is accurate. For it is a telepathic form of construction. It is real to the senses of the highly attuned. However, it would be invisible to all but those who are attuned to those senses. If these beings were to be in your earthly vicinity, they would perceive humans as rocks, stones, from their point of view, because your vibrations are so dense. It would be as if you saw a being made of rock or stone. That's how dense you appear to them. Earth people are altogether different vibrations. And it would be amazing to them. They would see how you have to be told things that they know instantly telepathically. You have to have turn signals on our car to say that you're going to turn. You have to have road signs and stop lights to tell you when to go so you don't run into each other. All of these things you take for granted, but it would never be necessary for them, because of their high level of awareness. It's all automatic. It's known. They travel telepathically. When they think about going somewhere, they just go there. They are almost totally telepathic because they don't have any kind of a vocal system or vocal tract. D. It seems like they don't have any bodies either. 184. The keepers of the garden. P. They do have actual physical bodies, but they are very frail. They have no more consistency or substance than a puff of smoke. That's how delicate their bodies are. But they are very highly developed telepathically. D. I was thinking of spirit beings. P. Well, they are spirits, but they have very frail bodies. You are spirits, but you have very dense bodies. D. That's very interesting, but could you describe another type of being that would be more well, say thrall physical, but could you describe you something which I could see? P. We could describe many, what you might call beasts, which could possibly frighten many who were to perceive such an animal. For it would be, as you might say, truly unknown to any concept of man. Creatures which to your eyes would be so hideous to behold, but yet to those who are accustomed to such creatures, as common to you as perhaps a parakeet or a cat. D. Yes, but these would not have the intellect I think that I am searching for. P. That is accurate. We speak here of animals. D. I think I'm curious about creatures with intellect that would not be humanoid. You say D. You had many variations. P. There are in this universe we speak of, many who are similar to your physical bodies. In fact, there are several planets on which, were you to land, you would find that the inhabitants looked almost identical. In fact, you could not tell that they were not human, because in fact, they are human. The human species is not peculiar to this planet. It is, however, one model of physical body which has been used throughout the universe with much success on planets which are similar in environment to your own. For the human body is quite adept at this type of environment. There are, however, many physical bodies similar to your own which could not survive on this planet. D. I think these are some that we have covered before. P. That is accurate. These are not strangers on your planet as well, however. For there have been many instances in which beings of a higher order have been allowed to materialize on this planet and walk undetected amongst your people, spreading the word and teaching and enlightening those who would listen. But many who, though they came in contact with and had discourse with, were not impressed and did not listen, and so the endeavor to them was simply lost. Other types of beings. D. Laugh, that's a human trait, not to listen. But I think what I was really after were the ones that were not humanoid. Creatures that were physical and had intellect but were not humanoid. I think I'm after the idea that it doesn't have to look like us to also be human in spirit. Do you understand? Just because something looks and acts differently, it doesn't have to be alien or frightening. I think that's the concept I'm after. P. We would say that there are many, many forms of what you might call non-humanoid creatures who have intellects far beyond that which is even possible in humankind. For the brain structure, which is the translator for the soul energy to physical here on this planet, would be so highly inadequate as to not even be able to support life. For the life concept given from the soul energy would not be able to be translated. And so the physical body would simply die from lack of nourishment.
There are many bhakdis which possess a highly refined degree of attunement to that which is pure energy, such that they need no sustenance, such as what you might call food on this planet, and derive their nourishment directly from what you might call the astral or cosmic energy. The molecular cellular structure of these bodies is one of a highly charged etheric nature, and which are continually replenished through the mental processes of the soul.